our mobiles, just switch, make sure they're switched off. And if you could keep the disruption and the noise level down, because it is quite difficult for the speakers. And with that, I'm going to hand over to Georgie, who's going to share his experience, strength and hope here tonight.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you.
Thanks. My name is Georgie and I'm addict. Thanks, Amy, for a fantastic share. And I wish somebody asked me to do a 40-minute share 5 minutes before the share. The speaker, the chair Fang, asked me about 2 months ago, and I've been suffering for six weeks. What I'm going to say to you all, I've been praying, it does not really work. I talked to my sponsor, it did not really work. I still feel scared and nervous, and I don't know why I've done them. Chairs, you know. Can I pick up this mic? I just find them bending over. And I've done the chairs in the biggest venue, but this venue, I really feel respectful toward the people who have done this meeting. I like that, you know, if you are listening on this tape somewhere in a treatment or whoever, where it is really well organized, the meeting, and the secretary, you know, doing his job, the literature, the tea committee, and lots of people now in the front of me staring at me. So I'm going to share my experience, strength and hope in the best way that I can. I also... hi, Terry. And... it's okay. Yeah. And keep coming back, Terry. So I'm going to start this. I'm also doing the chair in Manchester tomorrow. And I was thinking what I'm going to share. I was talking to my mate, Mol. I'm going to talk about you, Mol, because it's the best to talk about somebody else than about me. And so I'm going to start with my experience, my strength, my hope. I'm celebrating next month being 15 years clean. And and as I said before, I said to my sponsor who came with me tonight to support me and be there with me, that my first 2 years in recovery, I was really, 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 really crazy. I mean really crazy. I don't mean that I was acting out crazy. I mean, as my mind being all over the place, I wake up in the morning and I will put a tape and listen to these chairs like I'm going to carry this message to tonight, hopefully to someone who will hear me like I have heard people before. And I put these headphones and I will listen to the chair, and I have the rucksack where was the NA book inside, and I go to meeting. I go to meeting, man, and I go in the morning meeting, I go lunchtime meeting, I go evening meeting, and I go home. So I was a kind of the addict who was really broken here, and I felt quite emotional because maybe part of my anxiety speaking for 40 minutes that I have to speak the truth. And the truth is that for me, an addict like me, was very, very difficult. People say go on the medication and go on this, that, and the other. And I heard that I need to trust the process and stay this. And you know what? I have a very good life. And thanks God I did listen and I stay in the process. So I'm going to start with where I'm from. I'm from Belgrade, former Yugoslavia. And if you don't know where is that, check the map tonight. Maybe be a little bit less than on Facebook, and it's good to know new places. So that is where I come from. It's I heard the people come from Brooklyn, and I try to hear the people I hear coming from the Camden town and whatever, East London and whatever. I come from Belgrade. It was really, if you go as a tourist, it's a really shitty place, you know what I mean? There's not much there to see except the good-looking girls and the bars. And I grew up in a culture where the macho and all the stuff he does, it's really important. So I grew up in a family what was really dysfunctional, very, very dysfunctional, and the behavior what was going in my home was really, really difficult. And I'm not going to go into this here because I know it's a taping in the details and I get lost around this. But as a kid, I really had the fear of the people. I really had that fear of being scared of the people. And I used to go to the pick up these street dogs, you know, abandoned dogs. That no one does want these dogs. Not kind of posh dogs and all these, you know, dodgy dogs from the street, you know what I mean? And I used to like them. I used to feed them. And, you know, and anybody would give me a hard time. These, the street dogs, will attack them. And I felt protected. It was like my family. And so me and these street dogs was going around the street. And, you know, and that was my growing ups. And stuff like that. I was a good kid, you know, I was a really good kid, and I like my dogs, I like to play football, I support Red Star Belgrade, and we will live for the football, we cry for football, it was better than our mother, the father, and anyone, all about football, yeah? So don't so say anything about our club. So, as we were growing up, you know, I have to kind of fast growing up, and we had a kind of culture when the ordinary guys, they send you for the water, you can't say no, you know, if they send you, say, go and get me a water, when they're playing football, you say no, they bang, you get slapped, you know what I mean, so next time you'll be quicker when they ask you to bring the water, so kind of my environment was all about the men's, the strong, and the stuff like that. I heard about the drugs, really I did, the people who smoke, the sniffing the glue, and stuff like that, and kind of no things to do. But I still have not got introduction in a kind of the biggest way. And there was a lot of abandonment from my mom and my dad. And I'm not going to go into this really too. I want to focus about whatever did does come out. And I was about age of 11. And my stepdad, who was alcoholic, he left me in a car. He said he'd be back in 5 minutes. He went in a bar. I was as a little boy sitting in a car and waiting to this lunatic come back, yeah, knowing that was illness of addiction, yeah? What, you know, addicts when we go, we never come back if we are using it. Yeah? So he was the one of that, went in a bar and I was sitting there. And I was so thirsty, and I remember looking in the back of the car, it was a bottle of the sherry, like a sweetness sherry. And it's kind of sweetness things like a juice, but it's really alcohol there, yeah? So I was so thirsty as a kid, I got a sip and I got that feeling of the warmth. The feeling of the warmth what I really like. That was the first what I really like. It felt warm and anyway I fell asleep. And, you know, that is the way it was. And as I said before, I had a difficulty of communicating with the people. I was, if I would like to say something, I will stop. I could not say. I will go and I will stop. And I remember as a kid, I will not speak in the public like now. I will never be able to speak as I'm speaking in the front of you as a second language. That you know, if I look back, it will be. I will be dying then. And so anyway, so I was avoiding kind of communication with people. But what I realized when I was drunk, pick up the first what was alcohol, that my fear left. I felt I could talk, I could make the move, that girl really, she looked good, she's going to be mine. The guys who felt strong, you know, I could stand up to them. And I like all about alcohol, what was at the time. But I never remember that I ever had a one glass. I really had to get that feeling off my head. Now, as the time does progress, where I was about 14 to 15 age, you know, and as I said, in my growing up on the Balkan state, the men, they were really strong, you know, they have muscles big and the beard was strong and, you know, I had a soft mustache, really kind of the softest one. If wind will go left, they go left, they go right, go right, do you know what I mean? And I could not speak, as I said, if I want to say something, go da-da-da-da-da, you know, I was skinny. And plus I'm an addict, low self-esteem, insecure, you can top in on all of that. I was more small. So, and I really did struggle. I really did struggle. I was really quiet. And I, as the age of 14, I realized all my mates, they're picking up the best girlfriends around, you know. And no disrespect to anyone, I was kind of leftovers, you know what I mean? And I thought that was not fair. So I thought, really not fair, you know what I mean? So what I realized, when I get drunk, I feel like they do when they're sober. You know what I mean? So I thought, yeah, I got drunk, so I started talking, and the previous speaker speak about honesty. I was from honest becoming a dishonest. I thought the girls, they really like, in my experience, the girls they really did like when I lied, You know, they really they said, Georgie, you're such a bad lab, have you really like it, you know. So I start to learn the trick, how to be manipulator, I get what I want, and you know, means and all of that. So I learned the trade, So then, as the time did pass, I also realized as being really, I was really popular as I was getting drunk. I was a kind of alcoholic who was really, you're going to come to my party, because everyone did like me to go to their party. But after what happened, after a while, that if something changed, I become aggressive. I really become aggressive. I just, me and my mates, we will take the motorbikes and we will drive like comparison to M25 in opposite direction. We turn the lights off and we get pissed off and we go, yeah, that was cool. And we start to doing the crazy things. And before that was really funny. And then as the time then also passed by, it really was. And it was funny in a one insane way. When you're insane, that means really cool. Because we, as I said, I grew up in a very crowd, and it was like kind of, who is the craziest, it was the better. Oh, it was really crazy, man, you're cool. So it was kind of chasing to be who gonna be more crazy, because that is a cool, apparently. And we was all scared, really. And that is one of the things. Another thing it is, we will chase police because we was bored. We kind of stole the car, and we will then be so bored with it, us, yeah, because there's no one to... So we knew the police in our country had the shittiest car. Sorry, yeah, I'm swearing. I'm an addict. I really do like to swear, so I do apologize. There's no. So anyway, so we will go and find, looking for police, because we knew police had a bad car. We needed thrill. We needed excitement. So we will go and looking for them, drunk, and we find them, and then we knew they will not catch us, and then they chase, we can't begin, and we liked to drive to the red light, and so on, and so on, and so on. It was really crazy. I remember my dream was to die young. I did live, and the crew that I grew up, it was a dream to die young. It was not a dream to go too far, you know, in a life. It was a dream to die young. So we was abandoned as a children. We was angry, but we was still funny. We was still cool. We was still loyal. We was parents to one another. But we all wanted collectively in one way to die. So it did not really matter. So I'm not going to go too much about it. And I got to be start to, as many addicts like myself, introduction to the movie of the Scarface, Godfather. And we really liked it. I really did, like family, I liked it, you know what I mean? You're talking to me, yeah? So we would start to taking Charlie, and like Charlie, Coke, and start to, you know, I really did like the drug, because the posh girls, they really took that drug, you know, the heroin was like, not cheap girls, but you know what I'm saying, you know. But that kind of Charlie was like kind of, you really find the high class lawyers with you, and you know, and Scarface come at the time, and Godfather, and I remember I would go in the mirror and practicing, you know, the moves, you know how I'm gonna be hard when I go out, and that to look, and all that nonsense, and I was really, really kind of addicted to that. And, you know, I remember I used to give to my sister money, and bless her, and I give my sister money and tell her to keep that away from me because I don't want to spend it, you know. And then I will come up later on after the Charlie, no more lines there. And the girls, they're moving, the good-looking girls to the other guys, slowly, yeah, to the guys who had the money. You know, I start to get really in a desperate state, you know, and I go to my sister to harass her to give me that money. They just ask her to keep away from me. So that is a kind of the part of the story, really part of the story. But I'm not going to get too lost with it all, you know. The powerlessness, it is that my mom was dying from the cancer, and I was really lost guy. I was age of 18, and I didn't even know who was after me. The war started in our country, and it was like really bad. You know, the people dying, the drugs, the powerlessness. It was all coming in one way. It was really, really gone. And my mom was dying at the same time. And I came in this country in '92, and I really mean to change my life. And I came here, and... But I still do the same thing. I was still wanting to live the new way of life. I left the drugs alone, and I was drinking, but I was still behaving dishonestly in a way that took me back to the drugs. So it's, you know, then I got introduced to the crack here. You know, I never heard in the Serbia, we never had a crack. You know what I mean? It was, I don't know who invented, but I invented the trouble. And I got addicted to that, and then was really hell of a, just horrible, horrible powerlessness, horrible, horrible, absolutely one lie that I have a one, and that one took me and on and on and on. And I lost a lot of weight, and you know, and abstinent on my arms. I said I will never do the things before I start doing this stuff. My mother died on a 10. My best friend, who we grew up, he died from this disease. My mother died on a 10 years on the same day of anniversary of my father. And then my sister, 3 months after that, got shot. And I had an argument with my sister 3 days before she got killed. And it really broke me, really, really broke. You know, I really lost all the hope. I really lost it. It was no hope, any hope whatsoever. And then I was using and using and using. And I wanted to die. And I don't know, I think if I was back home, I think I would pull the trigger. But the God had a different plans. So cut all the story short, you know, it was everything that you guys have done and the worst I done, do you know what I mean? So you're not alone. If you're listening to this tape or if you're in here in the room, if a new one, do you know what I mean? I hit that rock bottom, as they say. You know, I did not plan to hit the rock bottom. The life of the journey that didn't happen, and I end up coming in December 98 in recovery. And when I came in recovery, I went first time in a detox. I didn't even know what was a detox. And I thought, you know, they told me I'm going to the hospital. I thought it going to be good-looking nurses over there and some TV from that squad where I was living. And I walk over there. It was full of addicts. And, you know, this black guy was chasing this blonde girl. And they're, blondie, you know what I mean? Well, I'm clucking and I'm just about to die. He's chasing this girl. And there is another guy telling me about this famous program. I think, oh, I'm going to die. There was another guy talking about God will save you. I think, oh, my God, what happened here? Yeah. So then they sent me to a Devon. You know, I think I was about 30 days clean, and I don't even know where is Devon. I didn't know, you know what I mean? Devon, man, what is that? You're eating that, you know? So they said, man, as I was going in the train, there was a lot of cows over there, and that is why I remember I came in this treatment, and suddenly, as I said, you know, there is a guy there from the camp, and, oh, I made, you know what I mean? And there is a guy from Liverpool, and I, with all that funny accent that he's coming up, and then the guys from the Devon, oh, I'm my lover, you know what I mean? Easy, man. Yeah, I came here to stay clean, and there is a guy there from the Scotland, he said, Jesus will save you. You need to believe in a Jesus. And then you have a therapist. You need to be honest. Oh, my goodness, man. What is this but honesty, man? So, I don't know. I stayed. Yeah, if I'm really honest, yeah, I stayed. So, NA, if you're in the treatment, we are not associated with the treatment center. So, we are NA. Yeah? So, if you're like me out there listening, it's okay. You'll be all right. Yeah? Just come to NA. Yeah? So, I was in this treatment center, and people say, you get honest. I got honest. I felt I was punished for my honesty. And I thought, wait, come on, easy, man. What's this all about? He said, you was not caring. What caring, man? Who did care in my word, you know what I mean? So all these kind of jargons of recovery, let go, let go. We mean let go. I grew up with nothing, you let go. What do you mean let go? And if you say this one more time, you will understand, you know what I mean, what I'm talking about. So, you know what I mean? So it's really lots of crazy people around, including myself. And so anyway, I fancy this counselor, she was there. She really looked really nice. And so I thought she really kind of a little bit refreshing in my life. And every time she come to our group, you know, I think, yeah, she really like me. And, so I'm going to try to act as I'm well. You know, I'm going to tell everybody how does really this work. Yeah, I'm not even 60 days clean. Yeah? And I'm telling everyone what they need to do with their lives. So, my God, yeah. So me and this counselor, we had affairs in my head, you know, and I was focusing on her. And then they moved me to the men's treatment. That was really horrible, really, really horrible. It was one cleaner, and think she was 65, and, nothing to keep me coming. And so they introduced me to NA, said, you know, and I did not hear the message. I saw the good-looking girls around, and that is really true as a newcomer, you know. That kept me clean. I'm 15 years clean, you know what I mean? So, but I knew I didn't want it to use. And so I act for quite a long time for the... as I knew everything. And I got in a relationship, and the people say, you know, suggest don't go in a relationship before you do a nine. And I did not have a sex for a very long time. I was one kind of addict who started addicted at the age of 17 and a half, 18, and maybe I had a few things, and then I came in age of 27. I was like a bulldog man out there. No program, I was crazy. And I got involved in the relationship, what I shouldn't do, and this girl was really brilliant, and every night I go in on my knees and say, thank you God for her suffering. You know, that experience was really great. So I was really enjoying it. And but what happened, now I'm gonna hit two recovery. The relationship went off. Relationship went off, and I fall broken, and really I got another rock bottom in recovery. And then why I'm gonna say this, then I really start to really surrender, and it was really painful. The powerlessness one would like to say, it is powerless for me, it is meaning when I feel in recovery, no power, none whatsoever. It's really feeling that insanity in my mind going on, and I have not experienced that powerlessness as I have experienced in recovery. Because before, it was all about the drugs and insanity, the life that I lived. So I took the sponsor and started to work the steps. And every single step in my experience explained to me what do I need to do next. So if I did not have education, I need to get education behind. So every step, it is there. It's not just kind of really exercise, kind of, yeah, yeah, blah, 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 I done that, blah, blah, you know. It is really showing me what I have not done and what I need to do. So basically, I start to stepping up, do the step work, and I start to praying really seriously to the God to help me. So I have to do everything opposite what that step was showing. So the faith what I had inside me was the faith was maybe the people in the NA with the long-term recovery, and maybe 5% inside me that this might work for me. So, and it did really work for me. And one of the, as a newcomer, I had a great dream to have a black and white shoes. I said, one day I'm going to go to New York. And people say, I don't project, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, you do your recovery, please let me do mine. Yeah. So I had these shoes, and that was about a dream. Today, well, I'm going to just break it in, because I really want to close my shares. It is, as I said, every single step is not easy. For me, it was not. Because every single step... in what step I had to do, I have to really look my behaviors and the way I used to be and the way that I would like to be. And the way I would like to be, it is exactly where I am today. To be honest guy, to be a respectful member of society, to people to trust me, and to be exactly where I am today. And it does take the years for that. Because I need to practice this new way of life and to do the my step nines, the whole, that this addiction did create it inside me. And so it is worth it. It was now, when I look back, every pain, or when the people say, keep coming back, I wanted to stay here. So it was worth it. My life moved away. I'm director to my own business. I employ the people. You know, I was a hero employee of the 2012. You know, I travel around the world. You know, it's lots of massive things really happened for me. But it's not going to be easy. Because if I do not practice the actions, and if I don't make these changes, I can come here and tell you the best thing about this step and that step and that step. So internal changes have to come. When my mother died and my sister was killed, I have never opportunity to go in a funeral because I was here. So I went to back home, and for first time, not as a victim, I went back home and put the flowers to my mom and my sister Gray, because it really meant to me a lot. You know, that's a part of the healing. When I walk in Belgrade, it as I said, if you go there, it's the shittiest place, but I love it. It's where I grew up, and everything means everything to me. I loved it. I've been there, and I said, thank you, God, that I have another opportunity by being clean to see my home city. You know what? And I really do loved it. I also would like to say that I went to New York, and no one believed I will go there. For you guys in Britain, that might be, for some of you, really kind of easy things to do. And, you know, for where we are coming from, and, you know, no one wants us. We have to fight together. So I went to New York, you know. It was one of the dreams for me, and it was amazing. Going as a newcomer, dreaming that, and being in a five-star hotel in a Times Square, and the singing, you know, stop spreading the news. You know, it's amazing. Dreams do come true, you know. So being in the status of liberty, that was really amazing. And, you know, I became a father in recovery, and that was amazing. But things did not work out. And, it, you know what I mean? It is sometimes all dreams will not come true, but it is the point, it is the drugs will not resolve anything, absolutely nothing. I was also in recovery where everything did fail, not because I was doing the bad things. The things do happen, but you know what, I came 10 times stronger back up. Do you know what I mean? So it kind of, for me, it is to remain still. There is a great story Japanese, they talk about the people who cannot stay still. They cannot live in the moment. There is a guy, the story about a lion is chasing this guy, and he's consistently running and running and running, and eventually he came to the edge of the cliff. And on the cliff, he could not, he looked down, it's about 1 kilometer down, and on the top of the hill is a lion who just gonna eat him. But next to him was a strawberries. So he picked up the strawberry and started the strawberry. And the voice, he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm enjoying the moment. So one tried to say, we don't have to get stuck on the edge of the cliff to enjoy the moment. If you are now 30 days clean, 1 year clean, 3 years clean, 5 years clean, 10 years clean, enjoy your moment. Enjoy, it's your moment. As much as it is difficult, as much as it is feeling all these things, you got to enjoy your moment, because you're going to share like me one day here and going back and say, I wish I did listen to this guy, enjoy my moment. So it is your best moment now. It does really, because when we are broken, we build foundation. We build foundation. And the foundation, it is also, I done my music video in the back home. I was singing, I created a music album. I did not to become a famous, because, you know, that is what I wanted to do. So I was in my city, the cameras and all the flashing lights. It was wonderful. You know, I really enjoyed it. And it's many, many, many things like that will happen for you too. But it will not happen on a sofa. It will not happen by in a head. We need to, or I have done, same level that I have went for the drugs. No one is responsible for my recovery except me. Yeah. I need to take the step and the program and the pen and to write down, it's my inventory and how I conduct myself with the society. I do pay the tax today, I really do. I tell people what I really do, and I pay lots of tax, you know. And it's make me proud that I am the good member of society. I am really. So, in another way, am I spiritual? Of course I'm a spiritual, but I'm a human being. I don't think I make mistake. Life is a hard out there. It's a hard out there. So the life can be hard, but I do stay clean. I'm going to finish with this. What is most important things for me? It's family. And the family is the tradition one. We need to love one another and to support one another to stay clean. We are not here to enable one another and say, you be all right. You may not be all right if you don't change. We are here to love, to show you the way we have done, to guide you what to do, you are no more alone, you know, to be with us. But for me, I don't want behaviors what I just shared to you previously. I didn't come here for that. And I'm going to support everyone who do their recovery. Regarding the step 9, regarding the fitting in, regarding whatever. And that is what I believe. I believe the tradition one is also important for all of us like the step one. It's not for me the different. Both they have the same power. Step one is a powerful, it's like traditional one, they're so equal, because without we sharing our experience, without we supporting one another, without we loving one another and showing the way, we will not have a hope. So keep the lights up, do the things and share what you got in the 12-step dance so we can all collectively be happy, joyful and free and have this good life what I have to offer. Thanks for being there for me.